Well, we've been on for, I guess I look back, I think this may be the eighth lesson about family, and this particular one is about senior citizens. You say, well, preacher, I didn't think you'd get to this one. Well, I did. So you may be in that category, but if you're not, you're heading that way. Marty and I are getting close to that age. I'm going to be an undisclosed number next year, but it's older than I've ever been before. And so we are going that way, if you're not already. But I want to give you some help in this. I really truly believe that the Lord has put his hand upon the lesson for tonight. And many of you, you are both. You are a senior citizen, wherever that magic age is. Brother Dan starts the Oasis group at 55, right? 55. So if you're in that group and you're not coming because you're still, we understand you, my friend, are a young 55. You're not like those old 55ers, but we even let young 55ers go into his Oasis group. So if you'd like to come, try it out. I know that you'd have a great time. But if you're not there, we are going that direction. And I believe that the Lord would have us dwell on this tonight because many of you, you are in that category, but God has blessed your parents, or at least one of them, or an in-law, whichever way it worked out, that in their aged years, you are still being a blessing to them. And I really would like for us to hone in on about that first or second point here. I believe that the Lord would give us some good help how to love, honor, because you know, you never break out of that biblical command to honor father and mother. Doesn't say to do it until you get 18. Doesn't say to do it until they say something you don't like. Doesn't say do it anything. It just says to honor father and mother. Now remember that sometimes you may have a wacko for parents. I don't know who everybody's parents in here. And you may have some that are giving totally unbiblical advice and unbiblical directions, and you're not able to take the commands, the advice, but you can still honor the person in their position. So I trust to be a blessing. Let's look in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's not unfamiliar territory when you get there, but it'd be as good as any to launch off on, because that's where the Ten Commandments, where the Bible tells us to honor father and mother. And each of us is growing older. And remember, however your parents are being treated by you is probably a great indication of how you might be treated by your children. My wife always says that you're getting to display how to treat aging parents. And so I've been trying to be good to mine because I want my kids to be really, really, really good to me. Maddie. But I knew this one guy, he said that he's got three children, and he said that he's told all of them that he's going to split his inheritance up. It's going to be weighted. One person's going to get a majority. The other two are going to get the remainder of what's left after the other one. So three inheritances. Two would be the same. One would be significantly larger. And I said, well, how are you going to decide? He said, I've already told him, whoever's house I die in, you get the most. So that's one way to do it. So they're wanting him to come. Dad, come stay with us. Dad, come live with us. Why don't you come over to our house, stay for a few weeks? And wouldn't that be something? Dad, I hope you die while you're here. So we see in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, Scripture says that familiar passage, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it gives a quote from that, in that passage where God gives instructions for every family member, children and husbands and wives. And he gives in Ephesians 6, 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, the promise being that thy days may be long upon the earth, of course. But we're going to look at this and trust it to be a blessing to you, because all of us are growing older. And we need to live each stage of our life in the way that God would have us do. Now, you understand the Bible doesn't give the specifics of every single thing, what you're supposed to do with this amount of money and that. It gives all principles. That's why it's timeless, God. It's a living book, and it has the answers for every situation. Now, I realize that we are oftentimes looking for answers everywhere else. We Google, we look on YouTube, we look everywhere we can to find answers, but sometimes we don't dig into the Scriptures, and I trust that they'll give us the answers tonight. I know they will if we'll look, and trust it'll be a blessing as we look at the senior years of family living. Father, bless us now is our prayer. May each part be profitable to everyone that's here. Lord, they may be, we may still have grandparents that are with us. We may have parents who are with us, and there's people in this room, they have no parents that are still alive. But Lord, they're on the other side. They've got children, they've got grandchildren. Some of them in this room have great-grandchildren. And dear Lord, may we on both sides of this see where we're supposed to fall and biblically where we're supposed to live, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are the obligations to our aging parents? Again, honor thy father and mother. There's no expiration date on that. You can't get to a place that says, okay, now I'm done. And so we understand that we're commanded to honor father and mother. I would say that we have to offer deference where we defer to them and courtesy, because that's the way that I believe the honor comes in, and that is to give that deference or courtesy. That's your first blank down through there. And show them these things. And again, this is shown to them even if they don't have a biblical worldview, even if they don't obey or if they don't agree with the Word of God. We still show courtesy to them, even if what we say is, I can't do what you just recommended I do. We ought to have deference, courtesy. We've got to show care and concern. If you look in John chapter 19, we'll see the classic, most biblical, right illustration of the Lord Jesus when he's on the cross. John chapter 19. The Bible says when Jesus is looking down at his mother, in verse number 26 of John 19, we see, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, which would be John, and whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then verse 27, then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And there was a lot packed into that phrase. Sometimes we look at a phrase in the Bible and say, well, that doesn't, he just said, look at it right there, behold thy mother. But obviously it was inferred, maybe talked about before, whatever it was. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. We've got to show care and concern. Now, it gets real sticky because some people don't want what another one wants. It can't be that you say, well, here's what you need to do to your aging parents, or here as your parents, here's what aging parents need, because everybody's so different. Everybody's made, some have made better provisions than others, and some made great provisions, but health care just came in and ravaged their savings or whatever it was. So I can't tell you exactly what you could do. I'm just going to give you some principles here that I think will be a help to you. We've got to realize that we've got to have that care and concern. That's what Jesus modeled for us as he was telling John, the beloved there, to take care of his mother. Well, we understand that if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, that's specifically talking about how to care for widows. But in that, if you want to turn over there to 1 Timothy chapter 5, you'll see that it's a reciprocal care that's expected because of what all your parents have done for you. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, but if any widow have children, now this is how to treat widows specifically, but there's teaching everywhere. The Word of God is all profitable. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite or reciprocate, to pay back, requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So I won't tell you how to exactly care for people, but I know the principle is given, and that principle is you and I are to care for our parents. Now, that may be hands-off, hands-on. I don't know. Some of your parents, and again, this doesn't apply to everybody because they're already gone, but your parents, we've got it all taken care of. But yes, but you've at least checked. You've seen that they're taken care of. That's why I'm saying it takes so many different flavors, because everybody's going to be different, but you were there if needed. It may be hands off, it may be hands on, but it's still reciprocated because of all that they did back when you couldn't take care of yourself. They're the ones taught you how to eat, taught you how to do all these things, and so we now need to come alongside and help them. If you would, off to the side or maybe on a separate sheet of paper, I would like to give you, I think I'll do it under this point, because the rest of them are some obligations of parents. These are just a few thoughts that these are not in Scripture, but I think would be a good way to do what the Scripture says there, and that is honor father and mother. Can I give you this first one? If you've got aging parents or whatever, grandparents, number one, value them. Value them, because there's a lot of things that they can help and give and contribute if only we would value them. But it's not only for what you can get out of them. You know, the device, mine's over there, I guess, the device that's in your pocket or in your purse, ladies, that smartphone has replaced a lot of questions that we used to ask other people. Now we just Google enough stuff and we figure it out. But we used to have to ask people, hey, what this used to be, or where was there, or what was here? But even with the plethora of smartphones around that we can ask any question we want, it still doesn't take the great need of aging individuals to feel needed. And so not necessarily what you can get out of them, but they just need to feel value, because all of us need to feel value. That's a basic human need, is so that we need to feel like we are contributing. So we ought to value them. Number two, not only that, but it goes with it, but listen to them. Listen to them. Take time to listen to their stories and listen to how they would do things and what they would advise in this situation. I understand that you're young and you're vibrant and you maybe don't want to take the time to listen, but it's a good thing to do. And I understand that you're busy and everything's going on, but we would do well to stop and listen to them. And that is just another way to value them, because again, all of us need to add value. If we don't add value to a situation, we feel useless. If we don't feel useless, we don't stay around. We don't feel useless, or we do feel useless, then we just get lower and lower and lower. So we ought to value and listen. Then number three, show them they're making a difference. Again, I already told you this portion is not in the Scripture. I'm just saying these are some good ways that you can honor a father or a mother. Show them they're making a difference. I don't know if they sent money for a gift for your child, their grandchild. Tell them that that money they gave is helping. Tell them the kids are using that car that they loaned. Well, you got into a bind and you used one of their cars. Well, that's helping us do this, because again, everybody needs to feel valued, but they not only need to feel valued, but they need to feel needed. I love to be able to meet needs. And so I know that our folks are, our seniors are no different. And then number four, again, all these kind of coincide with each other, but allow them to help. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, allow them to help. I can do it while they're thinking about it. I know you could. You've got at least youth. If it's your parents, you've got a lot of youth on their side. I can do it while they're thinking about it, but it might crush their spirit if you told them that. And so it's a lot of times better just to let somebody have a part. So value them, listen to them, show them they're making a difference, and allow them to help. Amen. Now don't forget, this is somewhat self-serving, because it's going to be us on the other side of it eventually. We want people to do that to us. Well, the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so if we would create an environment of that, then maybe our young people would catch on to it as well. But those are some ways that we can help, how we can treat older adults. So what are our obligations to those senior parents? Here's a few of them that we listed, A, B, and C. But we move on to say, what's the obligation of all parents? Now we're going to go from what's the responsibility of the young person, if he's not young, but the child at least. What's the obligation of all of our parents? Well, I want you to look at a strange verse that we'll use as a point for this point, but Proverbs chapter 30. The Bible doesn't give a lot of explanation about it, but Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, has somebody who must have had a pretty bad parent, or else just a bad child, but maybe they were together. When you find yourself in your place in Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 11, you're going to find there's a generation that doesn't do right by their parents. They curse their father and their mother. Verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. So the scriptures, as happens in Proverbs, doesn't always give you the, it just gives you the principle there, and you could have lots of reasons for that. Maybe this rebellious child of this parent that's cursing father and mother, they've just gone off their rocker and they were not provoked at all. They're just in rebellion. Or perhaps they've had some of those parents that have provoked their children to wrath, like the Bible commands us not to do. So you can't come to a conclusion, a specific conclusion, but I'm just drawing this application from that, that as parents, we ought to live our lives so as not to promote that hatred. Because let's just face it, if you had the worldly philosophy that I'll do unto others as others do unto me, not the Bible one, but the worldly one, I'll do unto others as others do unto me. If you followed that, then there would be a lot of people that have right and reason to hate their parents because their parents were really horrible to them. It's not until we find the scripture that says, honor father and mother, regardless of who they are and what they did and how they lived. Honor them. Again, you can only go so far. We've got all that and we've covered it before. But when the scripture comes into it, that's when the person says, honor them. Wow. Because up until then, the world just says, well, treat them good if they treated you good. If they weren't so good to you, don't be so good to them. If they were mediocre, be mediocre back. If they were horrible, they just get what they deserve. So I'm not suggesting at all we go that way. We obviously stay on the Bible side of it, but let's tear that just apart just a little bit. If there is that possibility that you and I could cause hatred in our children back to us, shouldn't we live in such a way that we don't do that? So I'm saying that the duty to all of our parents are to live in such a way not to promote hatred. And then not only that, but we live that way so we don't promote hatred, but then also we leave some things behind. Look in 2 Corinthians, if you will, and just a little bit of a passing by of the of teaching here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We are told here that parents are supposed to lay up some stuff for the children. So we're supposed to live in a way that we leave something behind. Now, before you get thinking, I don't know if I'm leaving much behind because it's taking about all I've got saved up to live. I think all of us have lived long enough to realize that there's a whole lot more valuable things to leave behind than a certain amount of money and an account somewhere. A good name is rather be chosen than great riches, the scripture says. But here we see it's just the Apostle Paul doesn't want to be a financial burden to the people who he's writing to. He says the third time, verse 14, I'm ready to come to you and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, mean not your stuff, but you. I didn't come for what you could give me. I just came to help you. And then he just kind of the Lord gives some teaching over on the side a little bit. It just kind of because God can. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And he, of course, is being the parent in that dynamic right there. So we're supposed to live in such a way that we leave something behind. Now, how do I know it's not talking about a certain amount of money? Well, number one, it doesn't say a certain amount of money. So how do I know it's not even talking about money at all? Well, one way I would know is just a very practical way. There are cultures in our world right now that for generations, the people haven't had any money to leave to the next one. You know, our strange dynamics in this nation is there are people who teach heresy even on television and from pulpits, and they'll say, if you would just follow the scripture, then you would be blessed financially beyond your wildest imagination. Basically, meaning you give enough to our ministry, then God is going to pour it out on you. We live in a very strange dynamic here in America that sells to some people, quote unquote sells. But there are other places in this world that's called the prosperity gospel. That prosperity gospel couldn't get 2 inches off the ground because nobody over in that hut has anything, or that hut, or that hut, or that hut, or any of the other huts around here. And so if one of those preachers came and started preaching that if you just have faith enough to send money into our ministry, then God would bless you beyond belief, wouldn't know where to begin to get any money to send into their ministry. So that's the bad thing about heresy. It doesn't always line up with Scripture, as you know, of course. Well, so in that same vein of thinking then, if the Scripture is only talking about money here, what about faithful Christians in biblical times? The lady that gave her the widow's mites that was blessed of God, and God said, wow, look at that. Or in other countries in our world even today where there's no money to be had. My dad would recount the story of his dad, my papaw, and he always wore bib overalls, and he would have his wallet that he would put in the front pocket of his bib overalls, and they had to go through Mamaw and Papaw's bedroom to get upstairs in this little Jenny Lind style house that Mamaw lived in. And he said, I knew where the wallet sat there on the dresser. And of course, he didn't need driver's license back in the early days right then. And Papaw would just get rides back and forth. He said, I know that wallet would sit there for weeks at a time because if he didn't have money, he didn't carry his wallet. So what are you going to tell that believer? That they're required to have a certain threshold of giving, or a certain threshold rather of inheritance they're going to give their parents. So you know, I'm just building the case that that's not that. But we are supposed to leave the principle given that we ought to lay up for some stuff. Now, that does mean though that if God blesses you, you ought to leave a good name for your children. You ought to leave some stuff for your children. And if he blesses you financially, you ought to leave some of that for him as well. That's a biblical principle that we've got. So what are the obligations of parents? And one of the obligations is live in such a way that you leave something behind. So not only should we see how to live, but then we see how should senior saints live their lives. So we see here in the third point and the last one, this is for everybody. Every age ought to serve the Lord. Let me read to you in Psalm 100. The Bible talks here about how we're supposed to be living our lives, and we don't give up on God. We just live our lives before Him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Doesn't put an age limit on there. Come before His presence with singing. Verse number 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy endureth, and His truth endureth, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. So we see, how are we supposed to live? How are senior saints supposed to live? The same way that all the rest of God's children are supposed to live. We're supposed to be serving. Now, you may not be in the four-year-old class anymore, and quite frankly, if your temper is so high and your patience is so thin, bless your heart, we don't want you there. But you've got something to do. It may not be that active physical ministry that it used to be, that you're not bringing stuff in, taking chairs and doing all that, or helping with classes here, there, and yon. But all of us have a ministry. We've all got something that we should do. We've all got something we can do. So every age ought to serve the Lord. And it goes right in letter B underneath there. No one should retire from God. Nobody should retire from the Lord. You can quit your job. That's good. I mean, if you got money to do it. If you don't, just keep working, I guess. You can quit the grind every day. You can quit that. You can step away from that. You can quit clocking in, but don't quit on God. Again, you may not do the same jobs that you used to do. You may have hung up that pair of shoes or a pair of gloves or whatever. That's fine. But nobody ought to retire for your walk with the Lord. You ought to still get in this book. You ought to still be on, you can be on your proverbial knees, not your literal knees. You can still be in prayer. You can still be serving. You can still be doing what the Lord wants. You can still be watching for people as they come in church, encouraging, exhorting one another. Doesn't take much health to do that. Doesn't take much strength to do that. No one ought to retire from his or her walk with the Lord. But then the last one, every age, and especially the senior saints, ought to embrace the great opportunities to show God's faithfulness. Verse number 18 of Psalm 71, when I'm old and gray-headed. Now, there are certain things that you can only do when you're old. And that is, then is the only time you can tell old people stories. Because up until then, it was just, I think it's going to be that way. But now, when you get that age, you can say, oh, when I was a kid. And that's when you say, well, I walked uphill both ways to school in July, 6 feet of snow. We walked up, and then we got done. We walked up back home. Say, Grandpa, that don't make sense. Don't question me, son. Don't question me now. Those stories are only be able to told when you're old. And it's amazing. I heard this one preacher, and he was a pretty good basketball player. He went to Tennessee Temple back in the day. And he said, it's amazing. He was pretty old by this time. He said, it's amazing. The older I get, the better I was. And I figured out why there was less and less people to verify or contradict his stories. You know, you outlive some of them. And you say, well, back in my day, there's nobody else that's living that can say, no, it wasn't that way. So every age, though, there's some things you can only tell when you're old, but every age ought to embrace that commitment and embrace that opportunity to show God's faithfulness. Now, let me remind you of this. I understand that physically, the older a person gets, typically the less they're able to do, if you mean do as in grab a hold of it and do it. But you realize until God takes us to heaven, or maybe takes our mind, that until that time comes, then we still have the opportunity to give God glory. Amen. You may not be able to jump out on one of these buses like you used to. You may not be able to go downstairs to the youth department with Brother Kyle anymore. You may not be able to help up in junior church, or you may not be able to carry chairs after the service to help reset back things up after a funeral meal or something. So the jobs might change. But until God takes your mind or takes your body or takes both, then you've got an opportunity to do what Psalm 71 verse 18 says. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, when I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now, I believe I get the wonderful privilege to live around some blessed saints that have taken that verse. Maybe they didn't know it specifically, but they have taken that verse as their life verse now. I don't mean they changed it and said, that's my favorite verse now, but they're living like that verse says. They are living in a way that they want to say, God, leave me here long enough. Don't forsake me until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto, up till now, up there at this point, have I declared thy wondrous works. And that's when he goes on to verse number 18, and he says, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, he said, I've tried to do it up till now. And in our culture, although there wasn't much retirement packages back then, but in our culture, you might say, well, now that I'm retired, which that means less now than ever used to as well, I understand that, but now that I'm at that age, God, I've tried to tell some people about you up until now, but now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. That's why every age should embrace the great opportunities to show God's faithfulness. So the senior years of family living, we've got obligations to them. Or maybe you are them. I've got a dad that's still here. Mom went to heaven, you know, last year. We've got a responsibility to him. We've got a responsibility to Amy's parents, the obligations to senior parents. Well, then we see the obligation of all parents to live in such a way, if I've caught you on that stage of life, then live in such a way that your children will easily be able to look to you and say, they imparted a lot of wisdom into me. And then, if you're in that age and your parents are gone, then you ought to live in that number three there. Serve the Lord. Don't get the idea that I've done my time. I'm done now. And I understand, again, I understand if that means you're done on a work day climbing up and trimming these big oak trees out here. We don't want you up there either. But we don't retire from the Lord. When He's done with us down here, we'll have that wonderful time when we get to heaven to be with Him. And then every age ought to embrace those great opportunities to show the next generation. There's very little I'm more consumed with than trying to teach our three children, who you know they're at their ages, who I want to impart in some more, a little bit more into them before they leave. But then other people that I have the privilege of being around, I want to just give a little bit of myself. And I watch so many of you do the same thing. And I just want to say tonight, keep it up. If you're old and gray-headed, I don't mind gray hairs anymore. I just like for them to stay up there. I don't care what color they are. But when I'm old and gray-headed, God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that's to come. May that be all of our prayers. If that's a little preemptive, you're not there yet, you're coming. If you're already there and then some, then let it be your prayer. Lord, you've obviously not done with me because I'm still here. I'm going to deduct, since I'm still here, that you've got something for me to do, and I want to do it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us know how we ought to behave in whatever stage of life we're in, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Our time is gone. Would you, if you're able to, stand together as the ladies begin to play something through? And perhaps you want to come and pray at the altar. And maybe just stay there in your seat and make it an altar right there between you and the Lord. And maybe you would pray a prayer like Psalm 71:18. You'd say, now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that's to come. I can tell you this, there is more need today in this generation for some folks that have seen it. They lived it. They saw God's blessings. They saw His faithfulness. There's more need right now for that message to be preached, I believe, than any other generation, recently anyways. And so maybe that's your prayer tonight. And I hope that the lesson was a blessing to you. Here's my last invitation aspect, and that's this. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not certain, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, but you'd say, preacher, I certainly would like to know. If that's you tonight, I wouldn't want you to leave a church service and go out those doors wondering whether or not heaven's your home, Jesus is your Savior. Then if that's you tonight, would you just slip up your hand and say, pastor, would you pray for me? I need to know I'm saved. I'm not sure about it. I've got some doubts about it. Anybody at all, just lift up your hand. I'm the one looking around. Well, if that's you tonight, I did not see any hands, but if that is your thought in your heart tonight, I'll be out in the lobby. Would you just catch me? Say, pastor, would you take some time? I'd love to. And just show you how the Bible says you can be sure you're saved on your way to heaven. And I pray that tonight, I'm praying right now, Lord, that we would make some changes in how we deal with our aging parents. And Lord, some of the people in this room, they are in their 60s, but their parents are in their 80s. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help them with those dynamics. Let us stay biblical, dear Lord. And let us do right, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for the time to be in your house and the good friends we get to share the evening with. Amen. Well, thank you for being in church tonight. I hope it's a blessing to us. And I know it's a blessing. It's a wonderful crowd on a Wednesday night. It's cold, it's dark, and all that. But I hope that not only did we get to fellowship a little bit at the beginning, but as you leave, the ushers will be back there to receive the regular offering for this evening. But as you leave, if there's somebody you haven't talked to yet, maybe give a good encouragement. One old preacher put it like this, you ought to be nice to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. And they really are. Often you never know who they are, but there's a lot of people who are. So thank you for being in church tonight. If you brought a turkey for the turkey drive that we're giving to families, you can drop those off. It's still in your car. You can just drop it off in the church or in the kitchen in the Family Life Center, and they'll take care of it from there. We've got a portable freezer that will keep those in. But if you're able to come on Saturday, I think at 10 to 12, if you're able to come, and here's how it would happen. They would you can ask Daniel if you need any other further specifics about it, but they would give you a an address, the family that you're taking that turkey and all the stuff to, and you would drop it off there at the house. If you can do that with us on Saturday, I believe we're going to start at 10. Does that sound right? Do what? 9? All right, 9 o'clock. And if you can come and be a delivery person, then we'd certainly appreciate that. And we'll get all those out to the different houses and be a blessing to some families. So thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed. Mm-hmm.